Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, a little Husker Du on WGN. And on the phone from New Orleans is baseball's next commissioner, Mike Vec. How you doing, Mike?
Wow, I love that. Yeah. What an intro. Make sure you get that on tape. Tell Divine Dan to make sure he gets that so I can run that.
Got it right here.
Yeah, we're hoping for that, Mike. You know, how you feeling? I know you had a little back surgery and stuff, but you're Jazz Fest, right?
Was it back surgery? Because I thought I got a new hip and
a hip. It was hip. That's right.
So,
yeah.
Did you do the work?
But you're doing okay, right?
Yeah, I set the goal of 35 days to get to Jazz Fest, and here I am. Gimping along. I look more like my old man all the time. God, it's so depressing.
Do you go to Jazz Fest every year?
Well, you know, it started as a bucket list thing for my wife, Libby, and she said, "Yeah, you know, I really want to do this." And I thought, oh, my Lord. And then I went once, and I was hooked. So
yeah.
It's just wonderful. By the way, they got a sign up looking for you in New Orleans. I understand you took your shirt off at an inappropriate place.
You know, yeah, you know what? I did. I went to Jazz Fest last weekend, and I had to go see the Baby Cakes. That's the new, whatever they used to be called, the Zephyrs, the minor league team there. And it was one of those, I'm not a big fan of those 11 o'clock, do you do those 11 o'clock games where they have like busloads of kids come in and stuff and, you know, they don't really pay attention to the game. Anyway, so I went all the way down. I'm from Chicago. I don't get a lot of sun. I went all the way down in the corner. Nobody was around me and they were hassling me about taking my shirt off in the sun. Even in the eighth inning when no one was by me, you know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, not only is fun in short supply, but I mean, you know, when you drive out the 11 fans you have in addition to the kids, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
You weren't frightening them, were you? I mean, you weren't quoting passages of Nocturnal Journal, dude.
No, I do have one tattoo. Maybe that didn't play well in New Orleans, but yeah, it's only that I go to a lot of minor league games. That's never happened before. It was weird, and they really stayed on my case. And you know, I tried to. You know, I didn't provoke him, but I tried to hold my ground. So at the end of the game, in the eighth inning, I moved all the way. There was nobody within miles of me. Nobody's in miles, and they still came over and tapped me on the shoulder, and they were going to call security. So then I left. But yeah, I go to Jazz Fest every year.
They'd have tossed my old man out of Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
With his shirt off. Can you still do that now with the first place Cubbies?
Yeah, I believe you can. And I think Dan has sat in our seats out in 242, and on a really, really hot day, I don't do it much, but I do take the shirt off in 242, and nobody except my neighbors complain, but I don't get any complaints from management or anything like that. So, yeah, it was an unusual experience there. I want to ask you, we were going to have you on a couple weeks ago when you had the surgery, and as the next commissioner of baseball, this is one topic that came up. What would you do to fix the game and speed it up and kind of to move the game along?
Well, I mean, I think they've taken the one step. I think when you wave, I'd get rid of the music first. I don't know when we all need, you know, a minuet to get into the batter's box. And you know, that's become so fashionable. And, of course, Dad suggested 50 years ago that if you're going to intentionally walk someone, you wave it. But it's once again taking control back from television. You know, also you got 90 seconds between innings, and you stretch it to 2 minutes because you can sell more stuff. But as far as speeding it up, everything's cyclic. I think this is just I think to overreact would be exactly that, overreaction, and I think it would be deadly because I think what serves us well. Even in this day of, you know, truncated attention spans, I still think that there's an ebb and flow. And so I wouldn't work really hard at it. You know, the 20-second rule is great. And, of course, we used it once at Comiskey Park because Camilio Pasquat used to take him like 3.5-4 hours between pitches. You could literally go camping if you had a good scout leader in the time it took him. So they used the actual 20-second alarm once, you know, to make sure that the ball was delivered quickly, and the umpires, actually the umpires didn't like that. So, I think there are subtleties and ways to deal with that without making big announcements and saying, hey, you know, we got to speed this up, because I think that would be a mistake. I think that the basic lovely flow of it is what, I mean, I can tell you this, who complained in the seventh game of the World Series this past year? Did you hear a lot of complaints going, gosh, that was too exciting? I think we ought to cut it down a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true. How do you feel about replay? Now, I do, like I said, I do go to a lot of minor league games, and it's kind of fun for me not to have the replay and to see old school arguments and stuff. How do you feel about the replay in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this. I like to think I've got an opinion and I'm not milk toasty. I think the replay is great, but I must admit that I kind of, you know, challenging it and going back and forth. I think we're better off not using it. I really do. I understand if we want to use it in the playoffs, and the like, but I think too much is too much, and I think reacting to everyone holding a phone these days this is a country in need of the human touch and looking our neighbors in the eye. You know, I think we could use a little less technology and a little more humanity.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. We got to take a break for the news, but I do want to talk about some of the fun is good stuff, which we always talk about with you. And after the news break, we're going to talk about your 25th year in St. Paul. I've got a lot of St. Paul questions. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal, WGN, with the great Mike Vec.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're here with Mike Vec, the president of the St. Paul Saints, a dear friend of our show. Mike, 25 years in St. Paul, Minnesota this coming season?
Just unbelievable. Independent baseball, when we started, I remember wandering around Chicago calling some of my pals and guys who I'd invested with before, and I said, you know, we're going to start an independent team in St. Paul. The upper Midwest is a hotbed for baseball. They said, who's the affiliation? I said, no affiliation, and they said, see you later. So, you know, I was forced to reach in my own pocket. You know how upsetting that is to a Vec. I was like, wow. And so my cousin, Fred Crable, and I, and Bill Murray, and Van Schly, and Mark Oakland, we started along with Miles Wolf, who is, of course, the commissioner of the league and the owner of the Durham Bulls. And I can't believe it, Dave. I mean, I look at it, we did 22 years at Midway,
yeah,
the homeliest ballpark in the country. And then we built a new ballpark, CHS Field, downtown St. Paul. We're starting our third season there. Our ticket sales are ahead of last year. And last year we did 118% occupancy. It's just insane.
Well, and people didn't think. So I remember I when you started, I went up there and they go, what's he doing? What's Vec doing? You know, doing a team right there with the Minnesota Twins, you know? I mean, was that daunting or, you know, having a major league team right there in the market?
Oh, it really hadn't been done, and I was scared to death. You know, you just get a night's sleep, so you come in the next morning and talk big, and then you run out, and you know, I was frightened. And the only thing we did come to an agreement that we were going to sell anything but baseball. Because what are you going to say? You're down the street from where they play Major League Baseball, you know, purportedly, and there's no chance. So you can't say, you know, come and see the best baseball played. And so we simply came across this, you know, kind of obscure, only used once, Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss line, fun is good. And having watched Murray paint his name on Letterman's desk on one of his performances, I thought, why can't we all do that? Why can't we all have a free zone, an adult free zone, where we can come in and you know, vent, if you will, those childhood frustrations that we still have. And so we marketed fun, and here it is. I mean, 25 years later, it went by in the flash. You know, it's like flash paper.
It's I'm going to come up for this. I mean, I just love your promotions. On Thursday, May 18th, the first game of the Silver Anniversary season, you're going to hand out Tams, the same hat that Mary Tyler Moore threw in the air at the end of the opening sequence of the show to the first 6,000 fans in attendance. It's going to be a Mary Tyler Moore tribute. I think it's called "We're Going to Make It After All Night." Pick it up from there.
Yeah, you know, one of the things is that there are certain iconic figures in the Upper Midwest, but specifically in Minnesota. You opened with one, for example. You know, people are very proud in Minnesota that Robert Zimmerman, Bob Dylan, is from, for example, Hibbing, Minnesota. And so the fact that Mary Tyler Moore's show opened with a Minneapolis brownstone, for want of a better, you know, really it attaches something. People really, really enjoy the tie. I, for example, when we did the tribute to Prince last year, you know, ballparks are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be apolitical. They're supposed to be fun. They're supposed to make you, you know, for 3 or 4 hours, forget the seriousness sometimes of the daily hum of our lives. But the Prince thing was like being in church. Yeah. I, you know, it was amazing to me.
And you just don't. I mean, so in the second inning, they're going to throw all the Tams in the air like she did in the TV show. Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you guys, like, if you could briefly deconstruct, how does a promotions meeting go with any of your teams? You know, I mean, how do you know what a good idea is? How do you know what a bad idea? And the third peg to that question is, does Bill Murray get involved in some of these ideas?
Yeah, it's inclusion.
Yeah.
It's inclusion, in a word. The meetings are large. They're raucous. Sierra Bailey, our promotions manager, runs them, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, my partner Bill and you have an idea. He's extremely involved in the soft goods, if you will, in the design. He has a great, you know, sense of design and of color, and so that a lot of our, you know, merchandise is stuff that Bill's kind of picked up in his travels, and the use of color and the like. And ideas are open. You know, fans send in ideas constantly, and there's no such thing as a bad idea. A meeting is never halted because, hey, that won't work. You know, and my favorite one is people go, that's Bush. You know, that'll work in the minor leagues. Excuse me, was that Bill Murray coaching first? Was that Bill Murray running the bases? Is there a separation between major league laughter and minor league laughter? I think the major leagues need a whole lot more laughter. And so that's all we're trying to provide. I mean, we play great double-A baseball if there's a veteran on the mound. It could be actually a triple-A game. But I think to sell it that way, you know, for us would have been a mistake. And people come really from all over the country to cover, you know, these silly ideas that are just inclusive. Don't hire people that are like yourself. Hire people who are contrarians, people who argue with you all the time, who force you to be better.
You did a fun and good. Did you do a fun and good seminar up there this winter and during the off season in St. Paul?
Yeah, we had a my partner Fran Zuli has been pushing me to start. You know, we did, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of creative seminars, and everyone I swore was going to be the first, and we'd call it the first and only or the first and last. But actually, after 2008, when the economy really crashed, corporations started to call us and say, do you have training techniques for fun is good? And once you could get past, and it doesn't mean that you have wear a beanie copter, but we go through these 8 or 9 steps. And, you know, if you say to him, Dave, well, we don't really subscribe to the theory of fun. Well, you say, how about your employees? And what about turnover? You know why people leave? Because they're not enjoying themselves. 56% of the people in America hate their jobs. That's terrible. I have people in minor league baseball who turn down 1.5 major league offers a year to stay with the Saints or to stay in Charleston or stay in with the Corn Belters, because people are happy. They want to enjoy what they do. They want to feel committed. And most importantly, they want to feel that their contribution is cerebral, that they can say, hey, this was my promotion. I thought of this.
And you shouldn't be afraid to come up with ideas. And I mean, it's going to circle back to Disco Demolition, but I was reading some of the notes of your seminar that this is great. A failure can create a lot of short-term pain, but it's far worse to have all the fun and energy drained out of work year after year by being too afraid to try something new. Do they ask you, I mean, our lives have reconnected through all this Disco Demolition stuff. I tell you, it doesn't go away. But
you do the book, and suddenly we're scheduled to do, you know, we're going to sit in museums and talk.
Yeah, I know. You brought that up. So, on July 23rd, there's a panel discussion in the Elmhurst History Museum at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll be there. Jeff Schwartz, former Loop General Sales Manager. Mitch Michaels, former Program Manager at Loop. Jimmy Rittenberg from Faces. But yeah, I mean, so do they ask about Disco Demolition and what went wrong? But you gotta tell them. I mean, you gotta keep plugging, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no, you show me a company that never fails and I'll show you a company that, as Bob Dylan said, he's not busy being born, he's busy dying.
Right.
You're dying on the vine because you don't take chances. And employees wanna be proud of their company. I mean, whether the Mary Tyler Moore thing floats your boat or not, the fact is that sponsors and people who work there like to see the coverage and like to be part of something, you know, where the fans are kind of looking and cocking an eyebrow and going, what are those guys doing?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're on August 22nd, you know, you're doing the world's largest twister board up in St. Paul. You know, it's just, you know, it's the stuff your dad said in all those books. I just love the incongruity. Incongruity is so important to me, and what you guys do is just really awesome with that, you know?
Well, that's a perfect example. Andrew Crowley is our musical director at the ballpark. And Andy Crowley, you know, has worked with a lot of tremendous musicians as a session guy. And he mentions that he knows the guy who invented Twister. And we go, get him in here. Let's see what he wants to do. And here's one that'll blow you. This one is the most amazing thing, Dave, to me about what companies can do. There's a friend of mine who invented rollerblade, and he sold the rollerblades, you know, and made a lot of money. But he's an R&D guy. He's constantly looking. So he invented this Sky Cycle. Sky Cycle. It's you know, it looks like a monorail, but you pedal it. And I wanted to put it in the new ballpark, but of course they value engineered it out, which is the adult way of saying we didn't have enough money to do it. So he sold the idea, Sky Cycle, to Carnival Cruise Lines. They put an 800-foot track up on one of their cruise ships, and it won the best accoutrement for cruising in 20 years.
Oh my God.
An idea that this guy had. You know, and that's a lot of money. And people just don't realize that if you have employees who are engaged, they're 6 times more productive, but they will do wonderful things for your company.
You're
and it's really not difficult, but you do have to believe in it and you have to make a structural change.
Well, we got to wrap it up, but I'm going to come up there on the 18th, and we'll hang out. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to the Mary Tyler Moore night and seeing you guys. Any movement on doing kind of a similar thing what you did in St. Paul, maybe in the Rosemont area or in the near Chicago suburbs with a team like that?
Well, I think there's going to be some announcement and some action starting in Rosemont. Obviously, that's Brad Stevens is a really forward thinking mayor there, and he's set up quite an entertainment complex. And so, you know, anytime there's a complex around, I want to be involved because God knows I've got plenty of them. So, you know, we'll move a Caddyshack restaurant in and maybe a ballpark will spring up.
I've heard something about a team being called like the Black Sox there.
You know, there's no such thing as a bad idea, but I can tell you that never has an idea gotten me killed more. We did suggest before they named the Minnesota Wild, which I don't particularly care for the name, we wanted to call them the Whiteout, and that didn't do well. The presentation was very short.
Okay. Well, we're going to see you in a few weeks, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Have fun. Who are you going to see at Jazz Fest? Are you done? Are you going to go tomorrow?
No, I saw Stevie Wonder today, and Darius Rucker, my neighbor down in Charleston, on Thursday. Wilco, want all those guys to know that Jeff's still out there. And tomorrow, Trombone Shorty, close it out, baby.
And go to that Cuban tent. That Cuban tent is really good. The Cuban Exchange tent. They got a great guy. He was making humidors there from Havana. He was really neat. So.
You know who they had the other day? William Bell.
Oh, yeah.
One of your listeners will call you in and go, he wrote, "You Don't Miss Your Water." And that he did.
Yeah.
It's a great show. They do a great job.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot. Okay. And you're the best. Come on again this summer.
All of them. Love doing it.
Okay. Take care.